as you all settle back in, I'm going to invite you to sign the friendship pads that are located at the right end of all the pews. And if you put your name there, pass them to your right or left, pass them back. And as you do, note who you're worshiping with today. And afterwards, you can invite each other to the coffee and cookies that are in our gathering area through those doors on your left. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, pastor here, and I'm leading worship this morning. Kim Wise is our liturgist, and this morning Lynn Meyer is playing the organ, and Earl Linhart is directing our choir. Heather Hicks is on vacation this week. If you're visiting with us here in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out one of the friendship cards that are in the pew racks in front of you. If you're visiting with us on our live stream, I invite you to leave a message on our Facebook page. And if anybody would like to learn more about our congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. We have a few announcements to share this morning. First of all, the flowers this morning are given in honor of all those who we are remembering on this Memorial Day. Wanted to comment that the plantings for the garden out there on the east lawn is have been put in. Thank you to our landscaping committee, and go out and take a look at those at the farmers market ministry yesterday. We saw many people using those benches there, so it is a wonderful public place there for our folks and for guests and visitors. Speaking of the farmers market ministry, we started that on Saturday, and we provide mainly bubbles, all right? We were a little late setting up, and boy, it's literally the second the bubble machine turned on, we had a dozen kids there, right? Lori was helping set up there, and we had a wonderful time talking with the parents, entertaining the kids. It was great. But we do need folks to help us out throughout the summer. This is every Saturday morning. You can sign up for a two-hour shift and help us out. Just pick one Sunday that you're here and come and join the fun. There's not much to it other than to keep the bubble machine filled and hand out sidewalk chalk. And you can see the efforts of our young artists out there on the parking lot when you go home. Their sign-up is in our sign-up book out there in the gathering area. We are still collecting plastic bags and other plastic film. I learned this morning that we are a third of the way to our 500-pound goal. So thanks for all of you who have brought some plastic in, and we just ask you to keep doing it so we can get reach our goal of 500 and get a new bench made for the rest of our garden area over there. In 2 weeks, we have our Step Forward Together event. This is an opportunity to give input to what has been happening in our church, and in particular, look at what things that if we look forward together, and we need the together part. And so it's a luncheon, and I'm told a good chance our new kitchen will be completely finished by then, and so we'll be giving tours of that. But we'll have a meal and then break into small groups and talk about our church a bit. We do need people to sign up, so there's a sign-up sheet in there. Please sign up ahead of time so we have an idea. It is a potluck. The main dish will be provided. You're asked to bring a side dish, and everyone will be well fed. For those who would rather do this all via Zoom, Thursday, June 15th is the second gathering of that. It's by Zoom, but we didn't want to leave the food out of it, or at least the group didn't, so they are they're willing to order pizza for you and have it delivered to your house when you get onto the Zoom meeting. However, there is a deadline for that, June 5th, to get your pizza ordered. So that, again, you can sign up on that sheet there, or you can call the church office during the week. So please join us for one of those two events and share your thoughts and ideas about the church. I also want to call your attention to, put Sunday, July 16th on your calendar. That is our annual trip to the Clippers baseball game. So it'll be on Sunday afternoon. I think it's at 4:00. More information to come. Also, this is from the membership and events committee. They did ring the bell Friday night, and we had a good steady flow. You know, you can tell because you can hear that bell all over Uptown during that fourth Friday event. So thanks for the group that participated last Friday, and if you care to join us, you can sign up to help with that as well. And I've got one other event coming up. I'm going to let Bev talk about that.
In person. As you have read, next Sunday, a week from today, I'm having a concert. I hope you'll pardon the pun, but last fall I decided to tune up my upper soprano range and started taking voice lessons so I could get some of that back, because I hadn't done much singing the last couple years. So my teacher in January said, I think we should talk about goals. I think you should have your own recital. And I went, what? And I thought about it for about a nanosecond and said, okay, she's playing for me. The reason I'm up here, I've had people say, can we come? Yes, please come. You're welcome to come. You're welcome to bring friends. It's going to be fun. It's pop music, but I do have some sacred pieces too that I think you'll will be moving. And I have a special guest artist who's going to play a short piece. So I hope you will. Hope you'll feel free to come. There will be a little bit of everything. No rap. Just keep that in mind.
Great, Ben. We do look forward to that. Next Sunday, one other announcement here, and that is next Sunday, immediately after the worship service, we will have a congregational meeting for the purpose of electing officers. Members are asked to attend. Visitors are welcome to attend. This won't be a very long meeting, I don't think so. You won't miss the concert either. So, with that, let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude. Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. Today is no ordinary Sunday. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Today, we ask God's Spirit to fill us, that we may dream dreams, that we may see visions, that we may prophesy in Christ's name.
Even now, the flames of the Holy Spirit begin to fill our hearts,
igniting our passion for God.
Even now, the holy women may be roaring into the sanctuary,
animating us, calling us out to worship the living God. Prophets, visionaries, dreamers, let us all worship God with courage and with hope. Let us join together in the prayer for Pentecost. Send forth your Spirit, O God, and renew the face of the earth. Dwell among us, even though your presence will startle and unsettle us. You are the source of our life. Gather us now together and form us into a holy community of your own people. Mold us by the breath of your Holy Spirit. Test us by the fire of your love. Reveal in us the language of hope for all people to hear, the face of your anointed Christ for all to see. Amen. Be seated. The scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 21. So listen for the word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, and I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall have dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Going to invite the children that are here to join me up here. We got at least one this morning, and while that one comes down, I've got to... Glad Andrew's here, because I have a prop that most of you won't be able to see, but I'll set it here anyway. Good morning. Glad to have you here. This is Pentecost, and on Pentecost, we, of course, the focus is on the Holy Spirit. And in the scripture that Mrs. Wise read, she talked about the Holy Spirit came upon them like a rush of a mighty wind. And so I got this fan here. And you know what happens, right? When you turn on a fan, it blows, there we go. And you can't see the wind that this fan makes, so I've put these little streamers on there so you could see it. Can you feel it? You wanna come up and feel the wind? Sure, go on and feel it, there you go. You can feel it, and these streamers get to show that the wind is blowing, isn't that sort of thing? You know, it's the Bible also talked about the noise it made. I discovered something this morning. Sounds like a storm, doesn't it, huh? Yeah, so it makes it sound more intimidating when it's a big wind coming, blows on this microphone, doesn't it? So anyway, the wind, now the question is, can you see the wind? No, you can't see the wind. What you see is what the wind does, doesn't it? It blows these streamers. The wind also blew one of our candles out, didn't it? Yeah, that was the wind from our air conditioning unit, not this fan. But you can see what the wind does, but you can't see the wind, can you? So if you're outside, you can see the wind blowing the leaves in the tree, right? And if it's a really strong wind, you might see it blow paper down the street or something like that. So you can see what the wind does, but you can't see the wind. And the Holy Spirit is kind of like that. We don't see the Holy Spirit, but we see what happens when the Holy Spirit is around, right? When we do something good and nice for someone else, That's when we see that the Holy Spirit is at work. So the Holy Spirit is what makes us and helps us to do things to help other people. And so just like this wind, we don't see the Holy Spirit, but we see what it does. And whether it blows streamers or the Holy Spirit makes us and helps us to do good things for others, that's when we see the Holy Spirit at work. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for this day when we remember the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we remember that the Spirit moves us just as the wind moves us. And the Spirit moves us to do good things in the name of Jesus Christ. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen. I'm going to send you back up there, Andrew, okay? Our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 15th verse. Hear now these words. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Here ends our reading. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the words of Holy Scripture, and we ask that your Spirit that fills this room this day guide us in our thoughts and my words this morning. Amen. Christian missionary Herbert Jackson told how, as a new missionary, he was assigned a car that would not start without a push. So after pondering this problem, he devised a plan. He went to the school near his home and got permission to take some children out of class and had them push his car so that it could start. Then, as he made his rounds, he would either park on a hill facing downward, or he would just leave the engine running. And he used this ingenious procedure for 2 years. And then ill health forced him to leave and a new missionary to come to this station. The new missionary came, and Jackson proudly showed him around and took him to the car. And he began to explain the arrangement for getting the car started. And this new missionary, while he was talking, began to look around the car, and finally, he opened up the hood, and before the explanation was complete, the new missionary interrupted and said, "Why, Dr. Jackson, I believe the only trouble is this loose cable." And he gave the cable a twist, stepped into the car, turned the key, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life. For 2 years, needless trouble had become routine for missionary Jackson. The power to start the car was there all the time. Only a loose connection kept Jackson from putting that power to work. For many of us, this story illustrates our own faith, for we live spiritually unconnected lives, which keeps us from accessing the power of the Holy Spirit, even though the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. In a way, we're like the disciples on the day before Pentecost. In the scripture passage, that Kim read this morning, we relived the story of that first Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. Until that moment, the disciples were only waiting further instructions, and they had no idea what those instructions might be. What they did know, we discovered in our second reading, the one I read from John. Here, Jesus tells his disciples that he will be leaving them soon, a veiled reference to his impending death on the cross. But Jesus tells them that he will send someone in his place. The word that I read was advocate. In the Greek, the word is paraclete, the Greek language of the New Testament. This is an unusual word used only in John, and it is difficult to get a good English translation of the word. I went and looked at other translations. The New Revised Standard, as I said, used the English word advocate, which, by the way, is where we get our name for our church newsletter. The Good News translation uses the English word helper. The New International Version uses the word counselor. And the Message Bible translates this same word as friend. As you can see, the translators have been struggling to find the best English word for this Greek word, paraclete. The Greek word literally means one who comes alongside, sometimes used as a legal term. The paraclete, thus, was someone who pleaded your case for you, perhaps. And yet, Jesus seems to mean more than a courtroom advocate when he uses this word, paraclete. There's a story told about Jackie Robinson, who was the first black baseball player to play in the major leagues. Breaking baseball's color barrier, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium. While playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error, and the fans began to ridicule him. He stood at second base, humiliated, while the fans jeered. And then shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over and stood next to him. He put his arm around Jackie and faced the crowd. The fans grew quiet. Robinson later said that that arm around his shoulder saved his career. I wonder if that isn't what Jesus meant when he used the word paraclete. One of the problems we have when we talk about the Holy Spirit is that we are so limited in trying to describe the Spirit of God. Our words just don't seem adequate. Look at the different ways that the Holy Spirit is described in this passage from Acts. First, the Holy Spirit is described as a mighty wind. And the wind might be a good way to describe the Holy Spirit. Think about it for a moment. The wind can be comforting, bringing a coolness on a hot day. The wind can be helpful, drying out the towels that are hanging on the line. The wind can provide energy, whether moving sailboats across a lake or turning wind turbines into electricity. Yet the wind is also powerful and to be feared by anyone who has lived through a tornado or a hurricane. The Holy Spirit is all this: powerful, comforting, helpful, energy providing, all at once. But more than any of these analogies, the wind best describes the uncontrollable nature of the Holy Spirit. We use the phrase, wherever the wind may blow, to indicate that we have no control. And in the same way, we have no control over the Holy Spirit. But wind is not the only way the Spirit is described in our passage in Acts. We also read that the Spirit stopped above each of the disciples and appeared as tongues of fire. Fire is another image associated with the Holy Spirit. And when we think of the Holy Spirit as fire, we conjure up many of the same qualities conjured up with wind. Fire is both useful and destructive. It can be summoned but not controlled. Fire exists but cannot be grasped. It is energy in pure form. And this is one way to think about the Holy Spirit, as pure spiritual energy. One of the most creative illustrations ever used to describe the Holy Spirit was done by a Sunday school teacher in the church where I did my student ministry. He might have gotten this idea from a book, but I'll give him credit here. This teacher had the class sit in a circle, and in front of the chairs there was an electric cord, and the teacher had the students pick up the cord and hold it in their hands. And then he plugged a lamp into one end of the cord, and the other end he plugged into the wall. And the lamp, of course, went on. And the students all knew this would happen. And there was nothing surprising about this. And then the teacher asked why the light went on. And they said it was because the electricity made it go on. And then the teacher asked them if they were holding the electricity in their hands. And at first they said yes. And then they thought about it in a moment and realized they were only holding the cord. They weren't really holding the electricity. The teacher then told them that the Holy Spirit was like that electricity. They could know that the Holy Spirit was there by the results, but they could never see or hold the Holy Spirit itself. That has been the challenge throughout the ages to describe the Holy Spirit. It's like electricity, but it isn't electricity. It is like the wind, but it isn't the wind. It is like fire, but it isn't fire. Elsewhere in the Bible, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, but it isn't a dove. It descends, it hovers, it blesses, it breathes, it gives, it counsels, it comforts, it admonishes, it guides, it is. The famous Christian author James Packer once described the Holy Spirit as a floodlight. He wrote, "I remember walking into church one winter evening to preach on these words, 'He will glorify me.' Seeing the building floodlit as I turned the corner, I realized that was exactly the illustration my message needed. When floodlight lighting is done well, the floodlights are placed so that you cannot see them. In fact, you're not supposed to see them. You're supposed to see where the light is coming from. You are meant to see is just the building on which the floodlights are trained. The intended effect is to make visible what otherwise would not be seen for the darkness, and to maximize its dignity by throwing all its details in relief so that you can see it properly." This perfectly illustrated the Spirit's covenant role. He is, so to speak, the hidden floodlight shining on the Savior. Maybe Packer is right. The Spirit illuminates what we need to know, and that is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Unlike the first Pentecost, most of the time we don't even know that the Spirit is doing its work, for it is hidden from us. But this work is all around us. The Spirit is working in our prayers, giving us words that we cannot utter. The Spirit is working in our lives, directing us to those who might need our gifts. The Spirit is working in our groups, guiding us to wise decisions. And the Holy Spirit is our connection to God. The ancient church father, St. Ignatius, once described the Holy Spirit as the rope that lifts humanity from earth to heaven. And maybe that's the best illustration. The Holy Spirit is our continual connection to God that lifts us up. We live in an age 2,000 years removed from the events of the New Testament, and yet those events are as alive to us today as they were 2,000 years ago, because the Holy Spirit is continually at work amongst us. We may not have a rushing wind this morning, maybe just enough breeze from the air conditioning unit to put a flame out. There may not be tongues of fire dancing in our head, but we do have the Holy Spirit within us and amongst us this morning. And with that, we have the comfort of knowing that we are always connected with our God. Amen. Sunday is not only Pentecost Sunday, it's Memorial Sunday. And of course, that wonderful hymn of the, or anthem of the choir led us right into Memorial Day. And we remember in this church, remember those who have died since last Memorial Day. Let us take a moment and toll the bell for these names that I've recorded here. I invite you to offer your own silent prayers, and I'll lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. Lord, hear our prayers. We praise you, O God, for having made known to us the great mystery of the Holy Spirit. You have granted the privilege that we might understand and yet never fully grasp what the Spirit is about, and yet we may know the Spirit's work amongst us. On this Memorial Day, remember those we love who have passed from this created world into your heavenly realm. We pray for family and friends who have lost husbands, wives, parents, children, good friends, and close confidants. In addition, we honor on this day those who have sacrificed their lives defending our country. And we offer our prayers in this moment as we honor them. Oh God, we offer our prayers this morning on behalf of your created world and our corner of it here in Westerville. We pray for those throughout the world who are hungry, homeless, imprisoned, oppressed, and able to live as fully as you meant them to live. May your justice and mercy shine light into the dark corners of our world, redeeming them in your name. May you also guide the leaders of our world to bring about a just and lasting peace to all places, so that all may thrive by your love. God of love, hear also our prayers and concerns lifted before you this morning. Maybe you provide a healing touch to the ill and injured, a hug of comfort to the grieving, a guiding hand to the lost, a clasp of reconciliation to those in broken relationships, a clap of joy for those who are celebrating. And show us, O God, where we might do the same. On this day, O God, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that enlivens your church and gives power to all of us to proclaim your holy name in word and in deed. Grant that we may always hold firmly and joyfully to this faith, and living in praise of your divine mystery, may finally be one with you, now and forever. Amen. And now, as God has blessed us, let us share those blessings with others. And one of the ways we do that is in the sharing of our offering. Let us do that now.
Let us pray. Let us praise you, O God, not just with our voices, but with our actions, not just with our hearts, but with our hands. Even by our giving, may we praise you, O God. Accept these gifts and use them for your glory. Amen. Now let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Peace be with you on this day, and may the power of the Holy Spirit go with you wherever you may go this week, giving you the strength to proclaim the good news of Jesus' love in word and in deed. Amen.